And the rest of your town, what happened to them, the 80%?
I would say 95% are probably executed. Mm-hmm. In two actions. I don't remember the details, actually. My cousin was particularly interested in this. It's not just himself, there are several people took part in it. But, some people did survive from our town, you know. There you see the sort of story of two girls found themselves in a village, and a peasant sort of said, right, you are my two daughters, you are staying with us. Mm-hmm. So there were various people. There were people who abused the Jews, and there were people who held them. An interesting instance was a man in our town, a Pole. Here I must explain. There were basically three major groups in the town. Jews, Poles, and in today you would call them Belarusians. Mm-hmm. But the term Belarus actually was almost invented by Stalin. He created Belarus. There was no such entity ever before historically. And still listen to my opinion. A Pole married a Jewish woman. The Jews ignored him. The Poles ignored him. And they brought up a family. Now, I'm told by my cousin, probably he got the information, that when the Jewish people were gathered in a ghetto in the town in several houses, they were the only ones who dared to try and supply food, trying to get through the back where the German guard didn't see them and try to bring in food and so on.
So they were outside the ghetto? And
Oh, yes.
Because...
You see, he didn't think of her as being Jewish. Right. Nobody mentioned it, so she survived with her husband.
Yeah. But she still tried to help the Jews who were in the ghetto?
Which I thought indicates the fact that there are some human beings.
Who are very decent. No, absolutely. So taking us back to the speech of Kaganovich and your chance to get away, how did you get out of
got away, I was told to go, I was direct. In the Soviet Union, people didn't choose where they went. They were told where to go. I was told that I'm to go into the Ural Mountains, a town called Medvedegorsk, copper mines. Well, I didn't fancy the idea. So on the way, I sort of realized help from various other people, at least that Polish army was forming. So I just went down and I was too young to be a soldier, so I was a cadet.
And they were pleased to have you. Did they know you were Jewish? Mm-hmm. They were pleased to have you.
Yeah,
and they knew you were Jewish, but that wasn't a problem.
How does one describe it in Poland? Formally, Poland was a democracy with equal rights for everybody, formally. Was there anti-Semitism? Naturally. But on a formal basis, it was basically, shouldn't I have the right to be there? It wasn't a question of whether they accepted me. You know, I was entitled to be there because I was Polish by nationality.
This is the Polish army after they had been conquered by Germany,
Russia.
And Russia.
Yeah, because don't forget that 2 weeks after the Germans invaded, the Russian army moved into eastern Poland in huge numbers. And this is what basically collapsed Poland. There might have been longer resistance to the Germans. People get the impression that Poland is completely squashed. It was partly squashed. There are various pockets of resistance. In Gdańsk, the Polish garrison resisted for 2 months. Mm. And they were actually killed to a man.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So you were in the Polish army in 1941 in a conquered country.
Yeah.
That's right. And you were still fighting at that point then?
No, there was nobody to fight.
Exactly. So that's why I'm trying to... Yeah. I'm wondering what you're doing
there. We have become allies of the Soviet Union.
Right.
Theoretically. But we were allowed to be evacuated. So after several months in the Soviet Union, by a first day round about route, because you got to the bottom of the Ural Mountains, or the first campus. We then moved to Tashkent, which is in sort of virtually the center of Central Asia. Then we were taken to a port on the Caspian Sea called Krasnovodsk. From there, we sailed to a port in Persia, which at that time the port was named after the Shah of Persia. It's called Pahlavi, which was his family name. And I've looked recently at the map, it's no longer called Pahlavi. But it was a port city on the Caspian. From there we were taken to virtually a suburb of Tehran, because I was in the city on a few occasions. And then we were taken by convoy, this time by Sikh drivers in the British Army, to what is today Iraq. And from there, by some other drivers, into Palestine. Then we were taken by Jewish lorry drivers to an area there where I was sort of enlisted into the army properly. And I was, there are certain things apply in the army, the Polish army. If you become a cavalryman, you have to be a certain height. I was tall enough to be a cavalryman. So,
had you ever been on a horse?
Only about a couple of times in my life before.
But no problem.
I've never been on a horse in the army. But we were sort of then taken to Suez. We accompanied on a French boat called the Mauritania, huge French liner. We took Italian prisoners from Egypt to Durban in South Africa. And then in South Africa for a couple of months, basically probably to just feed us up, because most of us were skeletal. And then we took German prisoners who were unsafe to be kept in South Africa, because they used to get out and disappear among the Boer population. So we took them from there. We sailed from Durban past Africa onto the Atlantic, hugged the South American coast, and then eventually developed them in Nova Scotia, in Halifax.
Why were you sent to Nova Scotia?
That they saw that Canada was probably a good place for German.
They're suddenly out of the way there, I suppose. And they were left there in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Yeah, the Germans were left in Halifax. And we joined a convoy. By that time, of course, the United States were already a huge convoy. By convoy, we got into Gurok, of all places.
it's a small world, certainly. You must have been somewhat confused during all this, were you not?
No, not in your stride.
You were very young. And were you learning English as you went along?
I was sort of, yes, I was adopted. There was a unit of the British Army called the Cameroons. They were the people who pushed the Italians out of Abyssinia. And a sergeant among them, a lot for some reason, took a fancy to me and talked in English, some English. But I had to learn English once I arrived here. I had a few phrases, but, I could speak to people, but I didn't really have much English.
So when your Polish brigade, or whatever it was, arrived in Gurok, what happened to them then?
Well, we were properly in the army. We joined what was known in the reconnaissance regiment. And then
but you're still a Polish regiment?
Yeah, in Dalkeith near Edinburgh. That's where I was stationed. There is a big parkland and somebody's mansion in the parkland, that was sort of where our camp was. Then it was decided that armoured cars were not really very useful. Reconnaissance started to be done by aeroplanes, so they didn't need reconnaissance regiments. So it was simply transferred into tanks and landed in Normandy.
So you landed in Normandy as part of the D-Day landings?
Well, no, about 5 days later.
Right. And was that still...
Heavy tanks, it was not. It couldn't be landed right away.
Right, but that was still as part of a Polish
component.
That was
still part of the Polish army, yes.
Right.
It was one of the three regiments of the 21st Army Group, which was Canadian. the other two regiments were Canadian, and the Polish regiment was now the 21st Army Group. And that was the group that went right along the coast, and all the way along the French coast eventually into Belgium and Holland.
And you were still fighting then?
Yeah, it was a bit of fighting, yes. Right.
And were you still in Holland when the war ended? What?
No, I was in Germany when the war ended. We, in 1944, we were held up on the estuary of the Rhine, which for some reason, incidentally, in Holland is called the Ems. The Rhine changes its name and it gets into Holland. So we were on the Ems in Holland. And then in 1945, we sort of crossed. In the meantime, there was, of course, the defeat of the paratroopers who tried to cross the estuary. And then there was an attack by the Germans on the eastern Belgium. But in 1945, we crossed. And eventually, we were stationed near south of Bremen, you know where the port of Bremen happened, just south of there.
And that's when the war ended?
That's the war ended.
How did you feel as a Jewish person going into Germany at that point?
I didn't feel anything, to tell you the truth. We didn't have a clear picture of what was happening. Would I have acted differently? I don't know. Probably not. When you're in the army, you do things with more or less which you have to be done, which you are told to do things.